advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
You gonna get your shit together over there?
Let's turn off the oscillation.
He's got to huff and puff and blow his notes down.
You see him? He did a hop, skip, step when he heard the music come on.
He did.
Didn't have the.
I couldn't hear it. I assumed that you would do that to me. Yeah,
I did.
I didn't make the assumption.
Yeah. You ran.
It was a disaster in here, though.
I'm good over here.
I know.
I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah.
My area is clean.
It's whatever, bro. I don't care.
Did you get the new Eminem?
Yeah, I was gonna.
Someone
talk
asked
about
you
that.
Guys
yeah.
in the group.
Like, yeah, I saw that. I hadn't listened to it. I listened to. I jumped through some songs on the way over here.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty good.
His rhymes are as tight as I've heard.
Yeah,
them in
somebody
a very
on the
long
somebody
time.
On the group said that he was pertaining to mumble rappers, which they thought were below him. Which I kind of agree.
Yeah,
but. There's been a lot of video circulation on YouTube and just other sources where they're asking these rappers about, the new modern rappers about, I don't even know what they're called. Like, that's the thing. They're not hip hop. They're not rap.
No, I don't
we
know
talked
what
about
they're
it
called.
Before.
Yeah. They're YouTube rappers.
They're vagina. I mean, yeah, they're vaginas. But they're YouTube rappers, I guess. And they've always said, they've talked shit about Biggie, about Eminem,
right.
about fucking Wu-Tang, about, you know, about the greats, you know, about,
right.
Digital Underground and, you know, all these, you know, the people who started it, the people who came in and took it.
Pioneered.
The pioneers, Kendrick Lamar, you know, who's newer-ish, but, you know, like the guys like that, you know, who are top of their game, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Being original, being creative, and they're just shit talking them. Pretty much. And so I see not only Eminem coming out with new shit like that because he's upset about
right.
people just, you know, downing the greats.
Right.
I see other rappers doing it too. I think some more are going to come out.
Yeah.
And they're really going to band together and just fucking blow these guys out of the water.
I mean, it's one thing to have a beef with somebody who's at least in your league.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that's what rap has always been about.
Yeah.
Like there's a beef and two, you know,
yeah.
sometimes
East
it gets
Coast,
lethal,
West Coast. You have Tupac,
but sometimes
you have
it
Biggie.
Doesn't. Sometimes it's just
yeah.
a PR stunt and they game on each other.
Well,
whatever,
you have Tupac
like,
and Biggie, which were two of the
right.
greatest fighting a power struggle over mm-hmm. rap music at mm-hmm. the time. And there's been a ton. There's Mobb Deep's been into it. You know, Pusha T's been in one. There's been a lot of
yeah.
Kanye West has had mm-hmm. beef with people. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of people who have had beef. But they're all at the same level.
Right.
The different styles, maybe.
Right, right.
But they're all at the same level.
But these fuckers.
These guys like, are fucking at the bottom
and
of
I
the fucking.
I remember, like, the middle of last week, I was watching, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's mean tweets.
Yeah.
There's one that's a rap edition.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh, that'll be cool. I want to see this. I knew one, maybe two people.
Yeah.
And they aren't people I listen to.
Yeah.
Like it was just person after person. I was like, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
I didn't know one of them. I was just, and then a couple days later, I thought it was dope that he just like Eminem on Friday just sent a tweet out at noon that said, oh, the new album's out.
Yeah. Pick it up.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Yeah.
So
it sounds good so far. I mean, there was Joyner Lucas was on there. Mm-hmm. Royce the 5'9". There's some other people.
Some of it. I mean, his rhymes are just off.
They're good.
Off the chain.
They're really good.
They're
his voice
so
is
good.
Tamed down from what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a little older, a little deeper
mm-hmm.
voice. It sounds
mm-hmm.
better. It's good so far.
Is he all political? I know he did that little thing for
no,
a
no.
He,
it's all about it's
just
all
rage.
About the media. he's kind of back to just destroying people
in a big way.
Yeah, just the mumble rappers just talking to people coming
right.
out just saying that Eminem's not that good. He's the past, you know, this and
right.
that, and he fucking He fucking tears it up.
He schools him. Yeah, and it's too bad because I wasn't crazy about his last album.
No, there's been a lot of albums that he's put out that's whatever, but they're the experimental. Thing is that, they're
exactly, and
shit,
that's,
you know,
usually they're like at the predecessor. It's like the beginning of a new process.
Yeah.
And I feel like if he didn't get such negative feedback, his next album would have really been
transformed. He definitely talked about that, about throwing out that album, people calling it trash and all this stuff. So, yeah.
I think that album was the beginning of a big transformation that isn't going to happen now because he got so much negative press. So it's kind of too bad because I think a brand new sound was coming out in that album, but it wasn't there.
Artistically, someone creates something like to put it out to the fucking world, like you just have no idea what the reception is going to be.
Well, and at that point too, it doesn't really matter because he'll sell albums, and then he can put out this album, and he's going to sell albums.
Well, the other problem is in that industry, you're probably surrounded by yes men. Like he has his crew, and they're probably like, "Yeah, man, that's awesome, man. Everyone's telling him it's fucking great."
But I think the reason that Eminem stays strong for the most part is because Phil Iovine and Dr. Dre are going to listen to his shit and be like, "That's nonsense." Yeah. All your yes men are one thing,
be telling him, "Look, this is what I'm trying to do," and they're like, "Okay, we'll put it out, roll it," and then it doesn't do that well. But he's funding his own shit anyway, it doesn't really matter. You know, at that point, it doesn't matter if you sell albums because you don't need the money.
Yeah, he's fucking golden. Yeah,
the one thing you don't want to do is ruin your reputation.
Right,
you know what I mean. So I think that's where. Putting out this album, just listening, I listened to 6-7 songs and I was like, okay, like the flow.
Yeah, he
okay.
brings it.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Like there were some times I was like, who's this rapping? Oh, it's Eminem. Like,
Exactly.
He's killing it. Yeah, he's killing it.
He kills it.
Yeah.
So if you weren't feeling his last album or if you just want to hear someone truly at the top of their lyrical game,
It's good.
Kamikaze is definitely worth a listen because he fucking just, he kills it.
And he takes it back. He has the Beastie Boys album cover, like kind of throwback. It's good.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm into it. I'm not a huge Eminem fan. I'm a very big respecter of Eminem. I really respect Eminem. Not a huge fan.
Right.
There are great songs.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. As there are with anybody usually. Right. But this album, I don't know. The songs I skimmed through were pretty good.
They're tight. So. Yeah. Brent, what's your thought on the new Eminem album?
I like the green ones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They make you horny.
Well, green image. I did have a thing.
It's in my LA Yucateco writer. From now on, meetup, I need a bowl full of green M&Ms. Yeah.
So Terry McGee was here, correct?
Yep.
Because I didn't think I saw a ghost because I talked to him.
Right.
Why were our whiskey glasses dirty? I'm not understanding what we paid him for.
Did you use them last time? Oh, he should have washed them.
We can't fucking keep paying him and come in here and our desk is dirty.
He's like Mr. T on A-Team. Like he doesn't do stairs.
I get on those stairs.
We had to fucking trank him to get him down.
Can we get
one
of those wheelchair fucking rolling down our stair things that you hop on and fucking it just.
What stupid movie does the old lady get shot out the roof? What movie is that on the wheel? On the.
Miss Doubtfire. Oh.
There's the chair on the stairs and then she shoots out the roof. It's like a scary movie. It's like a ghost movie.
I have no idea. Probably a scary movie.
Yeah. It's probably a scary movie and it's not scary. You're just confused.
Right.
I've never seen a scary movie.
Yeah.
Or a scary movie.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So Brad had me over for dinner last night.
I did.
My kids are plagued by fiberglass though. I was like duct taping their fucking like legs and their butt cheeks and shit, trying to peel all the fiberglass out.
I asked Mike, because my pool, it's old and it needs to be redone and it's fiberglass. So if you rub like on the stair.
You have no idea while you're in the water really though. I've had it happen to me. Like, and then you get out and you're like, oh fuck.
It starts itching. Like it doesn't hurt. I've gotten it. Like I jumped in, I was fucking with my kids and I jumped in the pool and like my back hit the bottom and I was like, oh fuck. I got out. My whole back was fucked. Like, but it's like, it's old. It's like my house was built in 1978 and the pool, the people who live there didn't really take care of some of the shit.
It happens to fiberglass too.
It just gets old.
Yeah.
And so like there's fiberglass, especially in the worn areas where people come in and out of the stairs, you know, sitting in the spa, you know, like, so, so if you touch it, it fucking gets, you know, it gets you.
It puts like 100 little prickly cactus things all over your fucking leg or wherever you touch it.
Yeah. They're tiny.
And you have to take a cold shower and fucking like peel it off their legs.
Right. So, but my kids, I asked them, I was like, did you guys get any on you? And they're like, no, we're good.
They
swim in it all the time. At first they used to, when they first got in it. Now it's like, hey, stay away from the walls, and then you see Brent's son climbing up the fucking wall like a fucking slithery puss. No. Like, and you're like, what is happening? What are you doing, dude?
Dude, Brad's kid's hilarious. I was like, hey, what's my name? He's all sup. So he calls me sup, and then he called me man or something. Yeah. He's like,
That's the man.
Sup. And I was like, what's my name, Luke? Sup. That's all he would say. Nice. Get everyone else's name. He's fucking cute, though. He's funny. So. I asked my wife, do you like the fan?
You like the fan? Yeah, we were sitting at the table. He's like, do you like the fan?
He's crazy because he speaks so clear. Like, it's like he has a vocabulary, dude, and he enunciates like fucking perfectly for a 2-year-old.
He's like, he just fixed his speech. What'd he say?
Oh, he said, oh man,
I not want that, or you not.
And he goes, no, you don't want that, and corrected his speech. I was like, oh shit.
He's
an evil genius.
Yeah. He's like, too.
He's funny.
That's dope.
But yeah. Yeah, good times. Good times.
Did you eat any El Yucateco?
We didn't eat El Yucateco, actually. Brad actually offered it, but what I was having, I just didn't do it. I don't know. I had it on some hard-boiled eggs this morning. I walked to work today. We're doing a new fitness challenge. If you're not in the group, get in the group. But I have to complete a mile every day in some way. So I walked to work, and because I did that, I didn't have any food. I had no way of leaving to get food. So I'm eating hard-boiled eggs from Dagny's coffee shop out of the fucking glass case. All sad. But I did put El Yucateco Black on there, and it made it okay. Made it good again. So yeah. Did anybody win from posting anything? I actually browsed through these ones this time.
Tech a winner. Name Kelly. Mm-hmm. Sensaucy. Sensui. S-A-N-S-O-U-S-E. Seuss.
Shyster.
Senus. Mm-hmm. Sensus. Sensus.
Anal wart.
Anyway, Kelly.
Yes,
Kelly. Anal wart.
You said anal wart.
Yeah, you're the winner. She puts some Teco and popcorn. Need I say any more?
That's,
yeah.
I mean, that's
you know
it.
What I'm saying
done deal.
So, it's the classic.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, and I have
congratulations.
To say, I discovered an even better El Yucateco popcorn scenario at Target. They have, and I only bought it because all the other popcorn was gone. They have a rosemary flavored popcorn.
Is this not the one you already told us? You told us this, I think.
With the rosemary popcorn?
I think so, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And like, I thought it was going to be garbage. Like, right. I was just like, but there's no other popcorn, so I'm going to buy it. And
Brad introduced me to Dasani fucking, what's that shit? Raspberry lemonade? Raspberry lemonade sparkling water?
Yeah.
I mean, I love LaCroix, but damn, that's like next level shit. But is that Nestle?
No,
Dasani,
it's
no?
Coke.
No, it's Coke.
It's Coke?
Yeah,
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a couple flavors. I celebrated the entire collection of Dasani sparkling waters last night. Yeah. I drank a ton, but yeah.
I enjoy the white peach. It's really good.
Brad accidentally invented some shit last night.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
He made fucking ribs with, what is it, chicken, steak, and chop?
So I actually never made like baby back ribs before, and I know mm-hmm. you, like some people put them in the oven, mm-hmm. and then you barbecue them. But I was like, well, that's with like a wet sauce normally. Like you have some sort of liquid on them in the oven or else they'll dry out. So I was like, how am I going to cook these? So I'm looking around and I'm like, oh, okay, throw them on the barbecue for an hour. You know what I mean? On low or whatever with the dry rub on.
Right.
So I have a Weber's steak and chop mix. It's like just a pre-made Weber's, mm-hmm. you know, seasoning. Because it's trying to keep low carb, you know what I mean? So there's no carbs in that. So I just rubbed those down. I had a couple of them from Sam's Club and it's just regular baby backs, you know, and threw them on the grill about 45 minutes, took them off. And then Brent's eating them. He's like, dude, he's like, these are really good.
He's like, you know what they taste like? They're not pulling apart. Like it looked dry. Like it looked like,
they looked really dry. Yeah. They looked, I was kind of disappointed, honestly. And they looked kind of dry and I was like, and I pulled off the bone. I tasted it and I was like, oh, it's good. Like it's tender. It's just not fall off the bone. Like mm-hmm. you just have to bite it off the bone. It came off, but it was like not how I wanted it.
Right.
Which I guess if you're just cooking them on the barbecue, that's just how they're going to be. You're not, you know, pre-doing in right. the, you know, some sort of liquid to get them super moist, right. you know? But yeah. And then he's like, he's eating. He's like, dude, you know what these taste like? And I was like, what's that? And he's like, tastes like fried chicken.
It tastes
and I
was like, just like fried chicken.
Like some good ass Southern fried chicken. That's like the best fried chicken. Yeah. And I took a bite and I was like, you know what? They fucking really do taste like fucking
like a
fried
rib
chicken.
Man, a rib man would have been like, oh, what the fuck did you do to these ribs? But yeah. like for me being on keto, hadn't had fried chicken in forever because you yeah. can't have fucking like,
so you made flour. Like a, you made a turducken. You made like a,
yeah, well, and it's like a, yeah.
a rib chucking.
And it was just the seasoning
the
and the way I cooked it.
It.
Yeah. It was just because it just went on the barbecue and I just had the dry rub on it. It just turned out that way. And it really, they really tasted good. My youngest daughter, she was like, do you have any more of those ribs left, Daddy, today?
Probably not, because I ate like eight of them.
I was like, no. I was like, yeah, we have some. And she's like, okay, good. And I was like, why? She's like, oh, they were good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Like, oh, well, I'm glad you guys liked them.
So. I told him to put that shit on like Pinterest or in the keto group or something, because it's like the literally recipe, if you're missing fried chicken,
it does.
That,
yeah,
that
it
tasted
does.
Exactly like fried chicken. So, or maybe you could just put that Steak and Shop on the on chicken and make it fried chicken.
Maybe, yeah.
By just cooking it that way.
I don't know. I've had it and it doesn't taste the same.
So we have some whiskey we were going to drink last episode, last week. And then I think we even said the name. We peeled the label off and then we didn't drink it. But it's Dustin McCauley. And he came with a friend, but I don't know their name. Yeah, he came at the same time. Yeah. It was in unison, the money shot. It was impressive. But he gave us some whiskey. Apparently, it's made in the same like distillery or something as Jameson's. The label looks generic. Looks like half-assed superhero.
Yeah.
Looks like, yes. Yeah.
It's called Powers.
Pop-off vodka.
Yeah, on like label. A shield. Irish whiskey since 1791. So it's just triple distilled. So we're going to try it.
Right when I smelled it, the light burned out over there.
The light quit? That's weird.
That's weird.
That's a powerful whiskey.
Let's see. That's crazy. It was like the whiskey was cold.
That is really good.
Is that weird? Did that taste like the whiskey was cold to you?
Yeah.
Like it was a lower temperature?
Chilled.
Yeah.
It's chilled.
Oh, I guess it did.
It's just sitting here in the room. That's not,
not cold. It's chilled.
Yeah. It feels like there was ice in that or something.
That
that's
is really
weird.
Good.
That's super good.
I really like that whiskey.
That shit
I don't know where you get it either.
Holy shit.
So he and a work associate were like, they're from Atlanta, Georgia or something. And
they stopped by.
They were working in a place called Visalia. They said it like just a little off because they're not from here. Because we say Visalia.
Visalia.
Yeah.
We're in Vassala.
Some shit like that. He said it kind of off, But they came by and saw the studio and brought us this whiskey. And it is actually really fucking good. I have to say, like, notably, maybe above and beyond a large percentage of what we have. And I don't know why it tastes like it's cold.
I wouldn't say that.
No?
I think it's good. I think it's good. Really good.
It's, yeah, it's good, but I don't know.
I have trouble.
Above and beyond.
I have trouble. The other thing uniquely remembering each, you know, whiskey profile.
The thing that's a trip,
that's
though.
That's why I couldn't say that.
It's 86 proof, and it's just completely
hotter.
Fucking smooth.
It's a little hotter though. It kicked me in the back of the throat.
Did it really? Yeah. I didn't have any heat.
Felt like I was sucking a big black guy's cock. But
right in the back of the throat.
Right in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for.
I have a gag reflex. It didn't gag me though.
Do we have a question?
It didn't gaggle me.
Didn't gaggle you?
From Matthew Lomas. You guys know Matthew Lomas.
Oh yeah.
He loves Reese's Pieces, but loves Dick Moore.
Mm-hmm.
So can't fault him there.
He should try peanut butter dicks.
He has a riddle for us. The cow. That's a good one for his boyfriend. Hope he's listening. He has a riddle for us. It says the cowboy rode into town on Friday, stayed 3 days, and left town on Friday. How is this possible?
Rode into town on Friday.
Yeah.
Stayed 3 days.
And left on Friday.
Oh, the horse is named Friday.
Damn, there you go. Yeah. You got nice. It.
Well done.
Yeah. I also figured out Brad's microwave in two tries. It was a goddamn mystery.
That thing was
fucking
a fucking
microwave,
Einstein
dude. This
microwave.
Thing is fucking bullshit, dude.
This when is my microwave is an IQ test fucking setting on the counter. That's what it is.
Like, Brad was like fucking trying to cook green beans.
I didn't give a shit. Yeah,
he was
I didn't
hitting
really
buttons
care.
And trying to fuck, stupid and it was, I was like, I don't know. I want to jump in there, but I'm not trying to like steal a man's thunder in his own castle.
No, I wasn't trying to troubleshoot it. I just fucking want shit to work. And if it don't work, I'm like, fuck this thing.
Then my wife walked over there like, no. And
let me show you how to use the microwave.
She walked away.
No, because Dave, check it out. It has power like a normal microwave, right? You hit power and then like you can change the power level of it, right? It's got timer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got a reset
a
button. Yeah, okay. The timer's just reset button. But then if you hit like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, it just goes to one minute, two minute, right? But then if you try and hit 7, it does nothing.
It was real weird.
You couldn't even press a button.
Seconds.
It didn't do anything. Couldn't put 30
you hit
seconds
timer,
in.
It just starts counting down. Like, you're like, what are you going to do? Boil eggs over there and use the microwave for your timer? Yeah. Like, what was that for?
Well, yeah, you can use it for a timer, yeah. So like, I was just like, fuck it. I don't know. I hit power. The power thing comes up. It says P10. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want that. Exit out of there.
Yeah.
So he figured out you have to hit power and then proceed to put your time in for what you want.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's the fucking stupidest thing ever. Yeah, it's so stupid. But
that would be like if a watch showed you the day of the week and then you had to like turn a knob or press a button to figure out what time it was.
Right.
You know what I mean? Its first function is to cook something for a time that you choose.
Specifically, if I want it for a minute and 25 seconds, minute 25, Right. Go.
And how presumptuous of the microwave company to just choose random foods like popcorn.
Yeah,
like,
that always bugs shit. Me.
You're like, popcorn, potatoes.
And, yeah. And then like popcorn, potatoes, beverage.
Yeah.
The fuck? Beverage?
Coffee, if you're going to reheat your coffee.
Coffee or tea.
Yeah, who knows?
Should at least say hot beverage.
Yeah, orange juice. Who likes hot orange juice?
Well, hot lemonade.
Hot orange juice. Yeah. Hot lemonade, yeah.
Actually, that's kind of Theraflu. Yeah,
that's what Theraflu is. That's horrible.
Hey, do we have a new
Oh, we do. Member? We do. Man, Dave, you're on it.
I am.
He's got to leave early. Skull member of the month. This month is a beloved fan of the show. You guys know her. You met her. It's going to be Gaysa Lycos.
Oh.
So.
She's my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so if you don't know her,
I'm staring at her. She's, her lovely expression.
She's right here in our studio.
Hold on. Does it feel like she's looking at you guys? Because it feels like she's staring at me.
She's looking at you for sure.
She's not looking at me.
She's fucking eyeball fucking you right now.
Jarrell's looking at me.
Jarrell's looking at me.
No, Jarrell's looking at everybody.
Yeah, okay. He kind of is looking at everybody.
He's looking at everybody.
Yeah, she's eyeball fucking you.
She looks like straight.
She looks like Becky the crazy pigeon on fucking Finding Nemo or Dart. What is it?
I have no idea.
Finding what's the Fish Dory, yeah. Becky the Crazy Pigeon, you haven't seen her?
I haven't seen
Finding
Dory.
Oh, God, you got to watch it.
I only watched the beginning of it.
Yeah. So, so she's our Skull Member of the Month, deservingly. She does a lot in the group. Anybody in the group knows who she is. She's from Germany. Just a great all-around person. We love her.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, speaking of that, that'd be a segue.
Yeah.
What's that?
Go. Be a segue next time.
I heard some shit happened to Gaysa. She got accosted in the hall. It was a holocausting.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ.
It's the wrong episode.
No.
Yeah.
No?
She got...
Huh?
I talked about this. We talked about this. You switched on me?
Well, we're doing Doc Holliday.
Okay. Well, whatever.
That's what we said originally.
I fucking hate you guys.
That's what we said. I said Doc Holliday be easy to do first because Holocaust is like shittier. And so like we need to get pumped up so we can make the Holocaust joke.
He said the same thing.
That's what I said. That's what I told Dave.
I gotta get
like an hour and a half pumped up to do some fucking skinny jokes, okay?
I have cameras in this room, just so you know. I can go back to the
fucking go. Do it. You're gonna be surprised. You're gonna be surprised.
I'm doing Oscar Pistorius because it's still in the book.
So, we need to add more appointments for Dr. Max.
We do. It's not working. Ridiculous. The engrams are slipping. No. So Doc Holliday, I have to, because this one was in the group, correct? This one was voted up.
I don't know. You threw it up at me. I think
it was in the group.
I threw four out of the suggestions. You came back with two completely different ones, and I was like, yep, that's it. I'm not arguing. Let's do it.
I think it was in the group because I wasn't especially thrilled to look him up, and I was thinking, if we're going to look up Doc Holliday, we should probably start with Wyatt Earp.
I just want to talk about just the movie Tombstone.
Right, exactly.
Like that character.
Right.
Val Kilmer. I don't think even Doc Holliday lived up to the performance.
I don't know, though, man. I got to, this is what I'm saying. Like, I was not really super feeling it.
Yeah.
And once I start, because the couple of times we've done Cowboys before, it's a little bit underwhelming. It's like they shot a guy once and rode around on a horse. And it's like Doc Holliday, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, no.
This guy was a madman.
You got to do reverse cowboy. That's why.
That's
no, right. You know what? I don't know, though. Some of the documentaries that I watched said that a lot of his like legend is him building his own reputation.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's a 130-pound man with tuberculosis drunk off a quart of fucking whiskey trying to like make sure he doesn't get killed in a poker game.
Yeah, well, no, that's definitely true. That might make you crazy, though. You know what I mean?
That's at the end of the day, though, nothing like a lot of the shit that I read, like it's legal reports, like there were posses like summoned to get him because he fucking shot a dude and he fucking gutted somebody at a poker game.
Well, I just thought it was awesome that I'll be your Huckleberry and you're a Daisy if you do. Like both of those are real fucking quotes.
Yeah.
That really went down. Someone had a gun aimed on him. He was like, well, you're a Daisy if you do.
I mean, he was a fucking pimp. Like he would tell, like I forget the exact quote, but he told one of the people to just start firing at him anytime he pleased.
Yeah. And he still fucking got him.
And he still fucking got him. He was like, you draw and fire anytime you please. And then he still fucking shot him three times in the chest. like he was a drinking, gambling, intelligent gentleman.
It's because he had the high tech gun back then. He had the self cocker.
It was like there were no comedians. It was just like you were a cowboy comedian,
right?
Like that was it. Like you're a Daisy if you do.
Yeah.
Like, and everybody just starts laughing. Like, and he shoots him three times. Like then.
So yeah, I got into it quite a bit as I was researching because he's pretty fucking.
So and that's one of the things I've said about this show is that, you know, we get topics like these where Dave's like, oh, like I'm like, I'm cool with Doc Holliday.
Yeah, I was cool with, you know, it. I mean? Just didn't, I but wasn't
there's that thing.
To...
Yeah. You're that like, could be, yeah, we could do something.
Yeah,
better.
We'll find something.
But then you dig into it a little bit and you're like, like, holy fuck.
Shit,
this is like one of my favorite new things now, you know?
And you know, the other thing that's crazy is like when we talked about Stephen Hawking is like, he was an intelligent man. But probably if he hadn't have had his ailment, had he not gotten sick, he wouldn't have become the man that he was.
This might be
the
same
thing.
I believe,
yeah. He's a fucking dentist.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then he gets TB and he's just like, well, fuck, I can't do this. I'm going to play poker.
Right.
Shit, poker's dangerous.
Because he can't be a dentist. He can't do any surgery because he has fucking
coughing
spasms.
Yeah. Well, who's playing poker with this motherfucker? They were crazy too.
Right. Right.
A bunch of, don't you have to reshuffle the cards? Like after he's fucking blood all over him?
Poker players were like the MMA fighters of the day. Like they're a different kind of breed of people. You know what I mean?
True.
Like you're fucking. And literally, if you win, and they're all drunk, you know what I mean?
They
like,
all got,
they all got guns on each other under the table, like fucking your turn, like fucking.
They're aggressive. It's their livelihood.
Yeah.
You probably won't get arrested if you kill the guy.
Yeah. But no, at the end of the day,
because he was a cheater, right? If you just say he's a cheater, you're good. You're on the clear.
But a lot of the historical records basically say that he did what he did because he had a death sentence the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dying. I have, like, tuberculosis, a.k.a. consumption. Like, there's no cure. You're going to die slowly and horribly.
Dude,
his brother died. His mom died.
If one of the guys would have shot him, it would have probably been a better death.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like, so he's just waiting on that. You know, come on, shoot me. Yeah. Come on. You going to fucking do it? Or do I get, you know.
At that time, one in five fucking people, one in five deaths were from tuberculosis.
Crazy.
That's a huge fucking number.
Well, we talked about consumption before.
Well, I mean, it's still a problem. Like, my wife, every time she gets a new job or there's, like, transfer department or anything happens. She gets a TB test.
Yeah. I have to get a TB test every 3 years.
Yeah, school.
Years
you work in a school. Yeah. You always have to get a TB
every
test.
3 years,
it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Kids, everything, going to school.
So, yeah, so his dad was a pharmacist. He had like a, I read a couple of articles that said he was middle class, but then I read some other articles that said that that his father was a major in the army and everyone called him Major Holliday. And he was a pharmacist and he ended up becoming like a city councilman and the mayor and all. And I'm
two
like,
terms
that's
or
just
yeah.
middle class. Like that kind of seems a little upper class.
Well, they probably weren't making a bunch of money. You know what I mean? It's like a sheriff.
Yeah even the sheriff had just, one pair of pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They weren't making money.
But
they
I'd still
just
say that's upper class. Like if you're in like 1800s Georgia and you're mayor.
I would say wealthy would
you're
be
in upper
the
class.
Railroad mogul.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that would be upper class.
You had to have the cotton farm with 40 slaves and Django,
but you're still hanging out with him because you're the fucking mayor.
Yeah,
like so they might not have been wealthy, but I would still say they were upper class
mingling.
Yeah,
probably the
upper middle.
I would say it's still like the sheriff and the mayor were the puppets of the fucking cotton farmers and
Boss Hogg.
Yeah,
that's true.
I seen a black guy driving General Lee the other day. Anyway,
that's dope.
I was just. Yeah,
I'm sorry, but that's
he said. He said, Boss Hogg.
Nobody's mad at that guy.
That's
no, he just rolled through, and I was like, black dude, orange challenger, or whatever. And I was like, General Lee.
Right
I was like,
there's only one of those in town. Maybe that white dude got tired of fucking getting yelled at the grocery store.
Well, there could be another one now.
Like, fuck this shit.
No, it could be another one because I seen it. It's a General Lee on the window, and then he had the fucking flag on the top, and I was just like. Huh.
It made me sad when all that went down. I was a huge Dukes of Hazzard fan. When I grew up, I had the fucking car. I had all the little Hot Wheels. I had all that fucking shit.
I had a DK. It was the General Lee DK, you know, BMX. And it was...
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, Doc Holliday, born and raised in Georgia. He had a cleft palate. Yeah. And apparently his mom was, like, super close to him and, like, had him go through tons of speech training.
Right.
So he could, like, perfectly enunciate things. So, again, one of the reasons that I like doing this research is when you watch Tombstone... Like Doc Holliday and Tombstone is the reason to watch Tombstone.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck. Kilmer, man. He kills it.
Yeah. And you kind of watch it and you're like, I'm just going to give all the credit to Val Kilmer to bring this life to this character. And as you research it, it's kind of like, no, he was just playing who he was playing. Like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
Like, he spoke perfectly because he was like drilled into it.
Did
like,
he win any awards for that movie?
I don't think so.
Man, like,
I think he did, who was the other one? Kurt Russell.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah.
And then I think both of them won awards. For their
Kurt Russell played Wyatt Earp
in Wyatt Earp, and then Doc Holliday went on to play Doc Holliday in Tombstone, though. Because no, there was someone else.
Oh yeah,
Kevin Costner played Wyatt Earp in the other one.
Yeah, he won an Oscar 1993 Best Supporting Actor for Val Kilmer.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Oh, nice. Well deserved.
Yeah, very well deserved. He should have got Best Movie.
And honestly, for him,
actor.
I have a cleft palate. I was born with a cleft palate. I had to have surgery, multiple surgeries, and for someone like. in that time period to have that ailment, like there's varying degrees of it. Some people are missing, like mine was minor. Mine was just my lip. Like literally my lip was just in two pieces. They sewed it together and it got like revised later and they like fucked with my nose a little bit. But first back then, dude, like he had to have surgery on that. I'm like, what the fuck was it for a baby? Right. Like you see dudes like with like whiskey in the dentist chair biting a stick and shit.
Yeah.
Like what did they do for a baby that had cleft palate? I'm surprised they even operated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He just thumped it on the head.
Like, they used like, yeah, no, the stitches thing. Like what was it? Was it cat intestines or some shit that they like wired through his fucking lip?
Yeah.
Probably. That's crazy. And so, but some of those on major cases, they're missing the entire roof of their mouth. So he must have had something similar to what I had, and there's just cosmetic. It was just
In that event they would probably end up dying at some point.
It's a big deal because as a baby you can't feed. Like I couldn't latch because my lip wasn't formed together, so they had to like bottle feed me, and then finally got surgery and shit. It was a huge deal. So that's we're lucky he's even fucking survived that.
So his mom, his dad is a pharmacist for the army several times. So he goes off to war a couple of times and he brings back a Mexican orphan at one point who becomes his half brother. But eventually his mom and his half brother both die of tuberculosis. And the common wisdom is that he caught his tuberculosis from one of them.
It was from Eskimo kisses for sure. It seemed cute at the time, but it was a bad idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he ends up moving to, Philadelphia and becomes, goes to dental school. Apparently his uncle was a dentist as well. And he ends up moving down south and, he starts a dental career. And at the age of 23, he ends up going to Dallas, Texas. And this is kind of the,
He gets diagnosed right away, right?
He gets diagnosed right away because he was 23, and some people think that that was right, that that's why he moved where he moved, because he had to go to Texas to get to drier air. Because
I saw on Biography, like whatever, one of the documentaries I watched was from Biography, and they said, the arid climate, that he basically rode the railroad tracks till they stopped and got to the most arid climate he could, because they gave him a six-month diagnosis. They said, you're going to die in 6 months. If you move to a drier climate, you might be able to live 2 years. And so that is why he moved, from what I saw.
And then he gets there, literally the end of the rail line, from what I read. And once he's there, he starts a new dental career there. And that's also, though, he sort of gets addicted to Dallas nightlife, and he starts drinking and playing cards and
he's living apparently good at cards. He's an intelligent guy.
And he,
and the other thing, whiskey makes his cough stop. So he can, he drinks 2 quarts of whiskey a day because it's the only thing to keep his cough down.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's like there's no cough syrup.
I mean, it kind of is now. Cough medicine has alcohol in it.
It would be whiskey with opium in it.
So he's kind of a weird person for the extreme West. Because everybody described him as a quote nappy dresser. Mm-hmm. Like he was he dressed very well. He was very well spoken.
He spoke Latin.
Multiple languages, Latin.
He played piano.
A classical pianist. Like again, I was surprised reading the history of what happened there, how historically accurate Tombstone actually was.
Yeah.
Like most of the events, granted they took liberties obviously, but the big events actually happened in Tombstone. But he just didn't fit the old West. And I think so much so that I think when you see a Western now, there's usually the well-educated Southerner who's like one of the characters.
Probably based off him.
Right. I think it only exists because of Doc Holliday. Like he was such an archetype of what he became out there. But early on, so he starts working for another dentist in Dallas. The coughing spells get bad, so he has to stop. And he ends up basically having to play cards for a living because he can't be a dentist anymore.
Right.
I wonder how many people he infected with tuberculosis.
That's a very good question.
You know, just as a roaming dentist. Around.
Well, in one hand, he's coughing to a handkerchief. In the other hand, he's fucking grabbing the cards and handing them into the fucking...
That's or in one hand, he's, one hand, he's coughing in a handkerchief. In the other hand, he's pulling teeth out of your mouth.
Yeah. It wasn't like they had alcohol gel.
There was no sanitizer.
So the first account that I read of a gunfight was on January 2nd, 1875, and Doc Holliday and a saloon keeper had a disagreement. They got in a gunfight, And
nobody hit anybody, like running in circles. They had the kind of a reenactment on a documentary watch. They're just shooting at each other in the bar. And that was the thing. Like, some people said he wasn't that good of a shot. He was just really quick on the draw, though.
Right.
And he had the fucking self cocker. So he just drew and shot. He didn't have to fucking do the Billy the Kid fan, the fucking hammer or anything. Right. He would just pull and shoot.
Right.
And so he'd like hit you in the fucking leg. But now you're fucked because you got hit in the leg. Right. And now he's going to shoot you in the ear and just miss you.
And I had read, I forget where in the timeline, but somewhere in there, once he really started doubling down on gambling.
Right.
He spent a lot of time practicing with his guns.
He said
that he specifically, once he realized I have to become a full-time gambler, I need to get really good with my guns and my knife.
Yeah. Because he carried a knife and two pistols. Yeah. And at one point in time, I think we'll get to it, he fucking guts some dude.
Yeah.
Like a
A couple guys.
Yeah, we're going to skip that.
Bar.
Yeah. So, but then, so that gunfight, everybody in town kind of laughed about because nobody got hurt.
They might have been so drunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they're just fucking seeing triples.
For sure.
Know?
What's a court? What's a court? Is that the fucking Irish whiskey one in there? Is that the Costco one?
A quart?
A quart is a jar. Quart jar.
Yeah.
That's a mason jar.
Yeah, that's a mason
jar. Like a 750 is a quart, roughly, you know?
So two bottles of whiskey, probably.
I think that's a quart.
Yeah, it's a quart jar. That's a lot.
So a couple days after that gunfight, he gets in another gunfight and kills somebody with two shots.
Right.
And as tends to be the case a lot with Doc Holliday, a posse is summoned
and he has to,
to get justice, and he has to run, he has to skip town so the posse doesn't come and lynch him, because there isn't, I mean, the fucking laws are so loose and the sheriffs are so shitty, and it's like, you killed somebody, all of his friends get together and kill you.
Right.
I mean, there's no real trial going on. So he ends up hopping town. He heads to Jacksboro, Texas, which was like a crazy lawless town near an army outpost.
Can you imagine, dude, just fucking dirt, cactuses, coyotes, and fucking just craziness. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Let's get him. Oh, fuck you. Three cactuses out. Fuck it. Like, the sheriff's like, I mean, we got enough shit to go.
Right.
You know?
And imagine, I mean, he moves to this town, and when they say it's a lawless town, like, that's not just a saying.
Right.
Like, well, there's no law. There's no sheriff. It hasn't been incorporated. They're not part of a state.
Yeah.
You can't even say they're not part of the United States. They're just a bunch of people who live next to each other, and there's literally no law.
And it's not like someone's going to find out what happened, because they're not going to make the trouble to send a fucking postman. And in between here and there, trying to get away, the fucking Native Americans are going to scalp your ass.
Exactly.
Fucking, the army pissed them off and gave them fucking tainted blankets and shit.
So he ends up going there, and he becomes a faro dealer instead of poker. I've never played faro. I know it was popular in the West, but he's a faro dealer there. And this is the point where he learns to become an expert shot.
He sold feral cats.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's what it was.
Yeah. It's just like poker. The cards are fancy. They're bedazzled on the back.
But this is where he learns how to become a good shot, because he realizes, oh, I'm shooting at people and they're summoning posses. And so while living in Jacksboro,
summon a posse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He can't do that
anymore. No, that's
like
hard
one thing
to do.
You can't do anymore.
No, it's hard to do.
That's where you're fucking wrong, sir. Yeah. We could summon a posse with one fucking
people
right
are
now.
Busy.
Dave did it and almost got in trouble last week.
I'm busy.
He made terrorist threats against the plumber and almost got us all in trouble.
Why?
Went and deleted his post and shit.
What happened?
Can't even say on air. One of our listeners was upset with some work that was done, and then Dave used a poor choice of words for a man who works with words for a living, in this day and age. So,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
His statements were the bomb, though, for sure. I'll just say that. Right. Yeah.
So, he ends up, while living in Jacksboro, gets in three more gunfights, one death, and no action is taken. There's no posses that time because it's a fucking bunch of lawless louts. And he is on the
You have a good record of gunfights.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not getting knocked
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Like, fist fights, you get knocked out, you're going to lose a tooth. You know, back in the day, there's some consequences.
And I'm just, it's just the stereotype of a Western. And it's like two people in the street and they got guns. And it's like, I'm like, put yourself there. You're in a fucking street and there's a dude with a gun on his hip looking at you. And you're both going to draw and shoot at each other.
Yeah.
That's some fucking, that's as hardcore as it gets.
Yeah. Picture right now.
That was the life.
Someone that's someone's mad at you about a fucking bad grade you got or some shit.
Yeah.
And he's out there and you're like, fuck that. And you've got your gun.
Yeah.
Put and that like reel in your head.
Yeah. And then it's not like Doc Holliday does it once. Like he just keeps fucking.
You know, that's life, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the.
You
life.
Know what I thought about a
that's
lot.
That's what this country is founded on.
That's right.
This is stupid, but I was picturing like riding through the town, shooting out all the windows and shit, and I was like, damn, how hard is it to make glass? They're probably right. pissed. Like it's probably really right. hard to make a right. plate of glass. They get
the glass blower's not pissed.
No, maybe not.
He's fucking happy.
Fire he loves the kiln. Yeah,
it's not hard. Yeah. It's just, yeah, it costs money that people don't have probably.
So in 1876, he shoots a soldier from Fort Richardson, which finally gets him in even bigger trouble because the United States government is investigating it. There's a reward offered for his capture. He's like aggressively pursued, by the Army, Texas Rangers, U.S. Marshal, local lawmen, and tons of citizens who just want the bounty.
Right.
And this is a fucking dude who's got 6 months to live a couple years ago from tuberculosis.
He literally weighs 130 pounds and is coughing up blood every couple minutes.
He's like
minutes.
A small woman. Holy you know, fucking
shit.
Yeah.
So, but he realized.
I guess everybody was smaller back then, though. 130 might have been a regular size male.
But a lot of his had to do with poor health. Like they called it consumption because they thought it ate you from the inside. Right. Like weight loss was a huge part of
that. Well, when you drink, you know, a couple bottles of whiskey a day. Yeah.
That might have been preserving his ass, to be honest.
Might have been, yeah.
I don't know about
I mean,
that.
He's not aspirating it, I guess, but he's fucking pickling him. I don't know.
Again, baller move. In order to get away from the posses, he flees through Apache territory, which no one's going to do because they'll kill your ass. But he ends up making his way to the Kansas territories, which is now Colorado.
He was probably in the spirit world. They couldn't even see him anyway.
I think so. So he goes to he goes through multiple cities, Pueblo, Leadville, Georgetown, Central City. And in those four cities, he ends up leaving three more dead bodies.
Damn.
Which again, like say what you want about him exaggerating his reputation.
Right.
Like these are the fucking facts of the matter.
He might have faked it till he made it kind of thing. You know
I think
maybe
he might
talk
have,
some
yeah.
shit and
yeah.
he's like, I gotta live up to this now. Everybody wants to fight the big dude.
So he finally settles down in Denver and he changes his name to Tom Mackey. He deals faro at another saloon, basically. And he stays there for a while, pretty unknown, just being a faro dealer. And he gets in an argument with a guy named Bud Ryan, who's a well-known gambler and like a shit talker and a tough guy, et cetera. And a fight happens and Doc nearly cuts his head off with a knife.
But he lived.
Yeah.
He like chops his neck and his face and says nearly cuts his head off. How do you live from that in that time and age? You know what I mean?
It says his face and neck were terribly mutilated. And then public resentment forced Doc to run again. And he goes to Wyoming. And then he goes to New Mexico. And then he goes back to Texas. Where he finally meets up with the two people who really changed the course of his life, which are Wyatt Earp and Big Nose Kate.
The Hungarian whore.
Fucking so awesome.
You guys want to start a Friday Night Faro game up? But guns at the door, though.
Guns at the door.
Just so we know, yeah.
Guns at the door, yeah.
That's fine.
Did you figure it out yet?
Yeah, I looked it up.
What do you do?
What's card different? Game. It's kind of like, it's just, there's cards on the table and you flip the cards and there's a bunch of cheating involved. By the dealer and the player.
Nice.
Yep. That sounds high risk for the time. Yeah.
So he ends up, this is where you kind of have to follow two different timelines if you want to follow him and Wyatt Earp or if you want to follow him and Big Nose Kate.
And they called her Big Nose Kate. She was actually pretty.
Right.
They said that because she got a nose into everybody's fucking business.
Right.
She was kind of a rude, right. loud woman.
Big nose. Yeah.
And she was a prostitute.
She fucking saves his ass too. Yeah.
So,
she's Big Nose out of here, Kate.
Yeah, we'll go with Big Nose Kate. So, still in Fort Griffin in 1877, he's dealing cards to a guy named Ed Bailey. And Bailey again is a loudmouth and a bully, and he's talking shit to Doc to try to irritate him, and he doesn't care about Doc's reputation.
Right, right.
Picking
a fight.
He keeps picking up discards and looking at him, which is completely against the rules because then you can kind of predict what's left.
Yeah.
And Doc keeps telling him to stop.
Oh, this is the guy, yeah.
And he warns him twice. He ignores him and picks up a card the third time. And
because you surrender the pot if you do that. Like,
right.
if you look at the discard pot, like it's game over, that person, other person gets the pot.
Right, right.
So he takes the rake. Right. Because he does it again after warning him. Yeah. Slides the rake across.
He takes it, and then Bailey pulls out his pistol from under the table. And before he could pull the trigger, Doc slashes him across the stomach.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. What kind of table is this? Like, and how long are his arms?
I don't know.
Because the dude had a gun under the table. Yeah. But he must have like had his hand on that fucking knife out and then took the pot.
Absolutely. And he had the guy already had that knife ready.
But he gutted him. Someone said something funny like cut him up the brisket or something was the term that they used.
The brisket.
Yeah, cut him up the brisket. They basically gutted him and he was just laying on the floor bleeding. Right.
And since Doc knew, everybody saw it like
self-defense.
This was self-defense. It was completely legit, so he didn't run, but they still lock him up. And guess what? A posse forms.
Yeah, but what a crazy world where you're like, you're at Taco Bell and the fucking someone like does that and you gut him. You're like, oh, shit, that's cool. Like, I'll just wait around for the authorities because he was going to shoot me anyway. I gutted this guy in the middle of this fucking place.
Right.
That's
crazy.
It was
justified.
Yeah.
I know.
This is my life.
Yeah. And then they arrest him. There's no jail, so they lock him in a hotel room. And then they start to form a posse of vigilantes want to come and burn him.
Listen how bad this bitch is.
Yeah. So Big Nose Kate shows up, goes. She sets fire to an old shed.
Yeah, like a barn or shed or something.
Like a distraction shed. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conveniently.
Exactly. She goes to the distraction shed and lights it on fire. So everybody runs to fight that fire, and there's only one person left guarding Holiday. So she jumps in the hallway with a pistol in each hand.
Yeah, she recovers his guns.
Gets his guns.
Steals two horses.
Yep. And they fucking peace out.
Some straight up Young Gun shit. Yeah, for sure.
Straight up. Yeah. So now they're horse thieves.
Kiefer Sutherland was just sitting in a chair watching this shit go down.
Being a horse thief is worse than killing
somebody. Absolutely. So, so his friend, the hooker, breaks him out of the jail.
Hungarian whore.
The Hungarian whore, before the vigilantes burn him at the stake, they break out and they start to head to Dodge City on stolen horses. And they end up having a relationship there, and they both swear that they're going to be better for each other. So Kate promises she's going to give up Horan if he stops gambling and shooting people.
Literally, I'll suck less dick if you quit killing less dudes.
Exactly. So bad. Yeah. This is about the point in the research where I fully fell in love with Doc Holliday. So I was like, oh my God.
I saw an interview with a guy that was talking about in the census, they actually found entries where she was listed as Mrs. John Holliday.
Right.
So like they weren't officially married, but she like went by, they were close enough that in a sense.
Well, from what I read a couple of times they went to different cities on the lam and faked identities as a married couple. So I don't know if they were ever actually married or if they just faked being married while they were hiding out.
It didn't work out though. They're both crazy ass.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
She kept sucking dick. He kept killing dudes.
Yeah.
So they broke up.
Yeah. And stop doing what you're doing.
Finally in Trinidad, Colorado.
Babe, it was an accident. No, babe, it was an accident.
Exactly. And the thing is, though, from what I read about Big Nose Kate is they had plenty of money. Like, because here's the thing. Doc Holliday, like from what I read, he was like raking in like $40,000 pots in poker.
They said it was
Jesus
not.
Jesus Christ.
That happened in
that's
Tombstone.
Fucking like $1 million like back in the day.
They
like,
said Tombstone's population and financial status.
They had World Series of Poker.
It was rivaled only by San Francisco at the time. And it was not uncommon for there to be $20,000 pots on the table.
Wow. Yeah.
Because of the silver, they were like next to a silver miner. Right.
Oh, so the people had money.
Yeah, they
everybody's
had fucking money.
Fucking rich.
So
20 grand is a ton of
which
fucking money.
Which makes it even crazier because so they had a shit ton of money
in the 1880s.
And Big Nose Kate wasn't whoring because she needed the money.
That's what I thought.
She was whoring because she liked whoring.
Yeah.
Well, her name is Horany. Exactly. I mean,
so Big Nose Kate.
It's gonna work out, I guess.
They end up.
She's ugly though.
So
no,
he ends up.
She wasn't.
I'm looking at a picture of her.
How do they have a picture of her? Some Billy Kid shit?
There's a picture
right
of her.
There,
she's not great, but everything says that. I think that was later in life.
That's when she was 50, but her earlier pictures don't look
that's that thing, though, where you see like 80s chicks in 80s movies. It's supposed to be the hot chick.
You can tell if they're pretty or not, though. This bitch looks like a fucking...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying it's not just about like makeup and clothing. Like you can take people from history and put them in modern clothing that's supposed to be the hot chick, and they wouldn't fit in society. They wouldn't... We've evolved since then.
For sure.
Something has happened. People in old yearbooks look like they're 50 and shit. They're senior year.
But, I mean, people let ugly bitches suck their dick all the time, so that... I mean,
I thought she might have been hot for the time, though.
That's true. I don't know.
Then again, who's kissing a dude with TB? He's like coughing up blood and fucking.
Right.
Does she have it? Did she get it?
She didn't. She fucking lived like for a long ass time. I think she died in 1938. Yeah, she died. No, that was the cousin.
She still lived a lot longer.
Did she? Yeah, yeah. No, we skipped that. He like loved his cousin and wanted to marry her, but they broke up before they moved. You see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he had a first cousin that he was actually in love with and romantic with.
That's some Alan Poe shit.
And then, but he had to move because of his health, and she didn't move. She stayed, became a nun, and she didn't die until 1938. And she had several letters. They stayed in correspondence the entire time until his death. And family members got the letters and burned them, stating that if the public had gotten a hold of those letters, they would have known, history would have known a very different Doc Holliday. Huh. And they burned it. Some historian was so sad.
Oh, fuck yeah.
He was just like fucking shaking his head, like even trying to utter the sentence.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree on that. There's some, if you look at women from like the 1880s, there were pretty women.
There's some hot ones. Let me see. Yeah.
There's some hot ones. So
I'm into artsy stuff. It's black and white.
Like Let's that see. One.
Oh, she's really pretty, actually. Is that real, though?
Yeah,
she's pretty.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them.
They don't have cameras like that. They have to fucking burn some gunpowder and it look like that.
They might have edited it to make it darker, but there's like... here's a Russian
one. You can totally tell that's photobarned.
Photobarned.
So, okay. So, in summary... Just to speed up the process of what Doc tends to do, they end up in Trinidad, Colorado. He runs into Kid Colton. Kid Colton wants to make a name for himself. Doc shoots him. 2 bullets, dead in the street. Posse formed. Doc runs.
Could have got a different way, though. We could be hearing about Kid Colton.
Right,
now.
Exactly.
That one bullet. Exactly. Like, holy shit. Kid Colton killed Doc Holliday.
Doc goes to Las Vegas, New Mexico, where for the last time he tries to be a dentist. 2 weeks later... He sells his practice and buys a saloon.
Yeah.
Not going to go well. And
like,
then
10 a.m.'s here. He's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck this. I'm buying a saloon.
He gets into a fight with Mike Gordon. They shoot at each other. And this is the one where he invites Gordon to start shooting whenever he feels like it. Gordon draws and starts firing. Doc shoots him 3 times in the belly, drops Gordon dead. Lynch mob heads out.
Yeah. Rinse, repeat.
Yeah. So, at this point, he ends up heading towards,
and he broke up with Kate, I think, right here, right there apart,
right around here. He ends up going to Tombstone. We're skipping the Wyatt Earp part for right now. We're following the Big Nose Kate storyline. So he ends up going back. He hears that Wyatt Earp, who he's already met and so forth, is heading to Tombstone. So he goes to Tombstone. He and Big Nose Kate had broken up several times by now. And they, at this point they were broken up. But when he got to Tombstone, she had also just got to Tombstone and they got back together. And that's where he started winning $40,000 pots and doing all that stuff. But then finally they did break up because a bunch of it gets weird.
She was whoring around again.
Well, she was whoring around again, but the final straw was
she can't stop.
In March of 1881, 4 masked men attempted to rob a stagecoach.
Oh, that's right.
And the Cowboys, the criminal gang called the Cowboys, in the movie they wear the red sash, all that stuff. So the Cowboys roll into Tombstone and they accuse Doc Holliday of being one of the holdup men.
They're in a fight and the sheriff gets her drunk and makes her fucking
write. The sheriff pours whiskey down her throat, gets her to write a confession. She writes the confession.
I have a feeling he didn't have to force that whiskey down her throat.
No, probably not.
It went right down.
So they get ready to they did lock up Doc, but the Earps were rounding up all the witnesses that knew where he was that night.
sounds like a disease.
It
on
does.
Its own.
Sounds like indigestion.
Boy, you got a case of the herbs. You got about 3 months to live.
It it's like it's how a black person talks about indigestion.
Yeah, I got the herbs.
Boy, you got a case of the herbs. when she rats him out drunk, and then she ends up like saying, "No, that was bullshit. I was drunk, and they were coaxing me." That's the last straw where they finally break up for good. Which they still kind of don't, because every time she comes back to town, she still stays with him.
He's got 40 grand.
Right.
Yeah. She's probably infected. Yeah. It doesn't add to her numbers.
So jumping back a little bit is him and...
He already
and,
knows his way around the cave.
Right. You know that's right. That's right.
Cave.
So he and Wyatt, back in Dodge City, when he's... when Doc is dealing cards, Wyatt Earp is a marshal. He rolls in and he's looking for a guy named Dave Rudabaugh, who's a train robber. And he ends up getting to this town and he says, "Does anybody know who saw this guy last?" And he goes to Shaughnessy's Saloon, which is where Doc Holliday
is. Oshag Hennessy.
And where he's dealing cards. And they say, "Well, there's one guy there that I, as far as I know, he played with him the night before he left town, mm-hmm. but you don't want to talk to him because he kills everybody and he hates lawmen. So Wyatt goes to meet with Doc Holliday, who hates lawmen and kills everybody. And it turns out that they played cards together, had some drinks, got along just fine, right. probably because the lawman wasn't on his tail. So
well, and Wyatt Earp was a little different too.
He was different so. And he was kind of a gentleman. So they probably were like in an oasis of intelligence,
right.
like, you know, sitting there with each other.
He's like, hey, I heard you could read.
Yeah.
You want to hang out?
Exactly. We can be buddies.
Yeah. Check out this word.
So he gives him information.
That's how Dave finds friends.
That's yeah. right. Wyatt tells his friend, Bat Masterson, who's the sheriff in Dodge City. They end up arresting the guy. Throughout all of this, they end up becoming friends.
Right.
So, it's couldn't be more fucking cowboy.
Yeah.
So they're after a guy, fucking Wyatt Earp rolls into town, goes to Doc Holliday, who's dealing cards. They find out where he is, wire it to Bat Masterson.
And it leads
like, who's another fucking badass cowboy.
It's a Bat Masterson.
Yeah.
His bat.
He sounds like a golfer for sure. That's a Happy Gilmore character.
Yeah.
Bat Masterson.
Yeah. And then, so, once they got to Dodge City, the cowboys showed up again in Dodge City. They were looking, a guy named Ed Morrison, who Wyatt Earp fucked with in Wichita, rolled in with a bunch of cowboys looking to kill Wyatt Earp.
Damn.
And so they roll in and they roll through town, guns blazing, shooting out shop windows, fucking trying to trample people with their horses. And they roll into a saloon. Wyatt Earp, the fucking badass, walks into the saloon.
Right.
He's like, well, guess I got to face all these drunk motherfuckers with right. guns by myself. And he walks in there and the main guy who he fucking humiliated earlier comes out and sneers at him. And he said the account is that this guy says, pray and jerk your gun. Your time has come, Earp. And then from right behind him, Doc Holliday says, no friend, you draw or throw your hands up. Any you bastard pulls a gun and your leader here loses what's left of his brains because he just steps up and puts a gun to the back of his head.
Right.
And at that point, Wyatt Earp was like, okay, we're down for life.
Yeah.
Like you just stopped. So, and then once this group was there and they're like, fuck, Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp are in here staring us down. They didn't want to fuck
teamed
with
up.
Him. Yeah. So they were like, pass.
Dude, that's like that time. Like I remember just being in junior high and there's like three fucking kids I knew were going to fuck with me. I'm like, God damn it. Here we fucking go. They're coming over here. They're going to fuck with me. I got to deal with this fucking shit. Mm-hmm. Like some shit's going to go down and you have like that angst of it. Those motherfuckers are going to kill your ass.
Yeah.
They're just going to like try to fight me or something.
You just got
to
be better than they are.
Yeah. Exactly. You know I mean? Exactly. And they did not give two fucks. So they all end up in Tombstone together. And again, this is kind of where the movie starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Earps move there and they're trying to, actually they're getting into silver mining
and they have a casino.
Yeah. They have a casino in the movie. They just have a casino, right?
I think so.
I don't think they're doing silver
much
mining,
of the mining.
They were doing mining because there's a bunch of the brothers. They all move there. Virgil becomes the sheriff.
The sheriff. Yeah.
And, Wyatt is just a marshal, but I guess if you don't currently have a job, you're not marshaling.
Right.
So it's like he's a marshal, but until you have papers to serve somebody,
you're not a marshal.
You're not marshaling at the moment. So he's a marshal, but he's just
which
kinda,
one's Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott's Virgil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That dude's a badass.
He is a badass. So they're, they end up hanging out there and multiple of them, like Prescott was one of their other brothers who was a deputy U.S. Marshal in another city. So they're just a fucking family of badasses.
Right.
Like they're just sheriffs and badasses and saloon owners and all this stuff. And, and one of them was a faro dealer at a saloon and that's where, Doc would hang out. So this is just like pure, you know, and again, the shootout at OK Corral isn't, all things considered, that big of a thing.
Except for 30 shots were fired in 30 seconds
right.
or something.
I was like, but I mean, God all the cowboy damn. Fights that go on I thought it was going to be way more impressive than it was. What's impressive is all the people who are here,
right?
Like the figures, like the legendary West figures who all converged on this town at that moment in time.
It was the Expendables.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But cowboys. So,
and you're dealing with the cowboys who are like a multi-city terror group.
Yeah.
Like they're a fucking massive criminal gang that does whatever the fuck they want to. And you kind of can't fuck too hard back.
Dude, they should do the Expendables over and do a Western with all those fucking guys. But they'll do like jujitsu and shit. And flips. Yeah, Jason Statham will get all crazy and fucking shooting like whiskey barrels. Whiskey barrels will blow up and shit.
Well, it'll have three X's on it.
Yeah, he'll like shoot off the anvil at the blacksmith and it'll spark and blow up a whiskey barrel. Stupid.
It's all math.
Jason Statham.
That's right.
You don't like Jason Statham?
I love Jason Statham. I don't know if I want to fight him or fuck him. Because his movies, I like him as a person. I just want to.
Nobody cares about what you think about
movies. I'm just kidding. No, he's a badass, actually. Yeah, it's just those movies. It's the fucking transporter shit. And what's the other one where he can't live unless his adrenaline's going?
I never saw those.
He has to put like fucking batteries on his nipples and shit to make him stay alive.
It's a good movie. You don't like those movies?
If his car goes below 60 miles
an hour, he's like fucking this chick out in the parking lot. And there's a bus full of Asians watching him. It's great.
Damn, that happens in that
movie?
I haven't watched this movie.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking shit and Crank. They're Crank.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. No, actually not. I mean, they're whatever, but they're not horrible.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty good. I mean, the bottom line of the story is like, somebody could have wrote it better.
I need to approach those movies like I approach Kung Fu and understand that it's not supposed to be real. I know.
You've got to suspend disbelief.
Maybe I'll try again. Maybe I'll do one tonight. Give me one.
Watch The Meg. It's the new one.
Oh, that's Jason Statham? I can't watch that. It's in the theater, though. I got to get some fucking Fire Stick action. It's on Showbox or something.
It's in my TV.
All right. I'm scared of the water.
It's in his TV.
Inside there? The information's inside the computer?
It's inside the computer.
It is, yeah. So once they get to Tombstone, the cowboys, specifically the Clanton gang, is harassing the area. There's old man Clanton and then his sons, Ike, Phil, Billy. There's the McLaury brothers. There's Curly Bill, who's a chicken shit, according to all accounts. And then there's Curly Johnny Bill. Ringo.
What year was Hatfield McCoy?
I want to say it was after this.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It might have been the same. It might have been the, I mean, it's the same rough era. It's all cowboy days.
TB didn't get you a fucking bullet was gunning, man. Yep. God damn.
Don't go to the West.
63 to 1891.
Yeah,
so.
It was right in. I mean, it's 1879.
Smack dab in the middle. Yeah.
God.
So
it was just a different place.
Yeah.
So October. Exactly.
A different place. Yeah. Something's going on. Yeah. Somebody else is a badass.
It's not even that long ago. Some of us had grandparents that were not that far from that.
Pretty much if died
10 years after that happened.
You didn't want to be in the South or the West.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. Fucking horrible. So October 25th, 1881, Ike Clanton gets drunk, goes from one salon to the next, threatening the Earps and Holliday.
A salon?
Sorry.
He's getting his hair done.
Yeah, that's right.
Threatening the Asians, doing his nails. Yeah.
The other place had a better bikini.
Oh, something wrong? Is something wrong?
This hot mud mask is bullshit. I blame Holliday.
hot stones on my calves. Yeah. This is a crock of shit.
He was all hopped up on bikini wax, man.
Yeah. It's your fault, Earp.
Yeah. I'm coming for you. See what they did to my eyebrows?
There's no cucumber in this water.
I look like Big Nose Kate.
Damn you, Holliday.
He just showed up all metrosexual. His eyebrows are all still red from getting fucking plucked and shit.
He has a fedora on instead of a cowboy hat.
He's got the chaps on because he can't wear pants right now.
Another assless.
Yeah.
His assless chaps.
Clanton, your hair smells lovely.
I'm going to have to shoot you now.
So, that was more Cleveland.
That's nasty.
That's nasty. I do got a good, Cleveland.
So Clanton runs around talking shit, and Doc Holliday gets pissed off and rolls up on him and says, "I've heard you're going to kill me, Ike. Get your gun out and commence."
Yeah.
This is basically Eminem and mumble rappers
right here.
It's also like in the movie Tombstone, like that scene is fucking totally happens. Isn't that the one he slaps the fuck out of him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slaps the shit out of him.
It all escalates based on that. And finally, the Clantons roll up, the Earps roll up, Virgil draws Doc Holliday away, and Clanton says, "I'm going to kill you tomorrow when the others come to town."
But you didn't have a gun at the time.
Right.
So, yeah.
Because you still couldn't technically have guns in town for the most part.
Because the Earps,
you weren't
supposed
to.
That was their rule, yeah.
Yeah. So then Clanton also says, when he sees Wyatt on the streets later, tell your consumptive friend, your Arizona Nightingale, he's a dead man tomorrow. And according to the accounts, Wyatt Earp just says, don't you tangle with Doc Holliday. He'll kill you before you've begun.
And not to get political, but that might be a good sample, like base for gun control when they took away all the guns. And
didn't really work.
The bad guys still had them.
That's true.
And yeah. The most notorious gun battle ever went down in a gun-free zone in a gun-free town.
That's true. So the cowboys ride in and fuck around all morning. They're talking shit. They're riding their horses on the sidewalk, trying to trample people, the usual. Right. Kind of entrance.
Wieners on the glass.
I mean, win in Tombstone.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So the Earps disarm one of them and haul him to the Justice of the Peace and immediately take his gun and fine him.
That's
and,
the pistol whip scene. Yep. I'm telling you, Tombstone is
accurate. It's very But the thing is, when you watch the movie, you're like, this shit didn't fucking happen.
Yeah. No, there's,
it's
like, nope, there's a, this is pretty much there's what a happened. Documentary about Tombstone, the movie, and how accurate it really was. Okay. Yeah, and then OK Corral. OK Corral didn't really happen in OK Corral or some shit like that.
There was a couple meters away in an alley.
Yeah, there were some small differences or whatever, but like, and history is kind of wrong too, because they call it, you know, that it the Battle of OK Corral, even though it wasn't in it. But
well, it's like if you see two fucking bums fighting for meth in the fucking, like, right near the Jack in the Box on Chester.
Yeah, it's gonna be the Chester Jack in the Box.
Over by the Jack in the Box.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's what's gonna stick.
That's what I remember. The Beehive Christian Bookstore. No, it was the Jack in the Box.
No, I like the Beehive Christian Bookstore better, actually. Beehive Christian Bookstore meth fight.
Yeah. So, October 26, 1881. They end up heading down where they know that everybody's got guns. They're talking shit.
Right.
So the Earps get together along with, I'm trying to find out who else was there. It wasn't just the Earps and Holliday. There was somebody else.
I don't know. I saw it described as they walked shoulder to shoulder, like just like the movie, like the three Earp brothers.
Oh, I take it back. They tried to get somebody else to go and he said, that's not my fight and wouldn't go. But yeah, and everybody said, and again, multiple eyewitnesses, according to historians, said that the Earps were all super grim, wearing black, grit down face, don't want to do this.
Right.
And Wyatt Earp was just dressed like a dandy, whistling and strolling down.
Yeah. No, Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday was just whistling and strolling down the street and didn't give two fucks.
Well, I mean,
he probably welcomed death.
I almost think that's a better way to go, because then you're like, you die in history as
fucking bad.
You're getting gunned down. You're dying in history as this badass, as opposed to just some deathbed somewhere, you know?
So, but the Sheriff Behan shows up and tells them not to go, that they're under arrest. And they say, no, we're not. And they go anyway. And then they get down to the OK Corral. So yeah, 30 shots were fired in 30 seconds.
That's like machine gun noises. Yeah. Like, I mean, depending on how they were spaced, I guess, but still, even if it was.
Well, with a bunch of guys and six shooters.
And shotgun. Yeah.
But apparently, again, the reason that I was like, I was super impressed by Doc Holliday, but not as impressed by the Battle of the OK Corral, because three people got killed.
Two of them by Doc.
Yeah. Doc killed one of them with his pistol.
He did have a shotgun.
The thing that's a trip, though. So he's carrying Wyatt Earp's shotgun.
Yeah.
And from what I read on the timeline, the first guy who drew, Doc shot and killed with his pistol while he was holding the shotgun in his other hand.
Yeah. I'm watching.
Like, he didn't even shoot him with the shotgun that he had ready. He still drew and killed
the fucking
guy.
Range. Yeah.
So he draws and shoots the guy. And apparently the fact that he shot him so accurately right in the belly is the only reason Wyatt Earp was alive, because that shot made him double over when he pulled the trigger. So it ended up shooting through Wyatt Earp's coat instead of his belly. And then he shoots another one with the shotgun.
You think anyone in history ever got shot in their badge and actually got saved? Like, is there like a cop or something?
Probably, yeah.
I want to see it.
Military guys get shot in the helmet. And it goes in the helmet, around the helmet, doesn't kill him.
Comes back out, toilet bowl.
Yeah.
So the, again, the whole thing from the movie is accurate, because the killing goes down And then this gets weird because posses get formed by two people. A local sheriff forms a posse.
This is the dandy if you do right here, too.
Yeah, you're a daisy if you have.
Yeah.
If you have,
it's
they might have changed it in the movie, and that's why I could remember it that way. Yeah. No, it's you're a daisy if you have is what it says here. Yeah. So.
Right.
But I think they changed it in the movie to you're a daisy if you do.
I think so, yeah. So the sheriff deputizes Johnny Ringo and a bunch of the outlaws to go after the Earps and Doc Holliday because they broke the law by getting in the gunfight.
So now they're like both deputized by different factions of the state.
Wyatt Earp is
feds.
Exactly. Wyatt Earp's marshaled by the feds
so
to go
Virgil.
After.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Virgil
so there's two completely different.
It's a real marijuana legalization fucking mess. Yeah.
So, but what ends up going down is like what they call this crazy vendetta ride. So basically, because shortly after, just like in the movie, the cowboys end up coming up after the OK Corral and they shoot Virgil and kill him and they wound one of his other brothers. So this is where there were more people. So Doc and Wyatt and then two other guys.
Yeah,
who
Sherman,
Earps.
Sherman McMaster and then Turkey Creek Jack Johnson.
That's right. I knew it had an awesome name too.
Yeah.
So the four of them go on a vendetta ride and they ride all over the place chasing down all of the fucking members of the Clanton gang, whether they were in the OK Corral or not, to fucking shoot them all and kill them. And once they start killing these people, they keep being accused of murder, which is why the posse keeps growing against them.
Right.
So it's just posse versus posse, but the more badasses win by killing everybody in the other posse.
You remember posses on Broadway?
Hell yeah. Right.
Making sure.
So they end up, after all that is done, Doc leaves Arizona after that. He goes to Colorado, and all the law enforcement from Arizona say, you need to extradite Doc and send him back because he murdered all these people. And the governor of Colorado was like, nope, we're not doing it.
And he also thought like the cold air, which I kind of probably back in the day would thought that too, was going to help him, and it didn't. It kind of made it worse.
Yeah. So
altitude.
He ends up moving to Glenwood Springs, Colorado. His health deteriorates pretty quickly.
Because he went to the hot springs and they're sulfur baths and it's sulfur oxide or something.
Well, they thought sulfur was
out it just eats your lungs when you breathe it and his lungs are already fucked. It, like, he might have lasted longer, but he went to Colorado. The climate was different and he started fucking breathing that shit in, taking sulfur baths.
But he wouldn't have lasted longer because he would have been killed.
Probably. Yeah.
So, yeah,
maybe.
Fuck. Yeah. So, and then, he does end up dying of tuberculosis on November 8th of 1887, which makes him 36, which isn't bad considering the fact that he was diagnosed with TB at 23 and told he had 6 months to live.
Can we make that? Can we call that Doc Holliday on November 8th? Is that a thing?
Should. It is the Doc Holliday.
Yeah, it's the Doc Holliday.
We fucking totally need
and
to
And we celebrate
it.
His death. Yeah.
So yeah, I was very happy. Like once I got to Big Nose Kate and read about all that, I was like, oh shit, Doc Holliday is no fucking joke. This motherfucker was bad. And yeah, he had a lot of braggadocio, I'm sure. And he was like going around talking shit. And he was like famous in the newspapers. Like everybody heard the exploits of Doc Holliday and all this shit. But there was a whole lot of truth behind the tall tales.
I think his last words in bed were, this is funny or something. Because he's laying in bed. And he made it through all that fucking shit. Like
face
to face.
He died of this shit.
And then he's like, really? Like, fuck, I tried. Like, he went out just shooting like 3 feet away from people, telling them to pull their fucking guns, and then he just lays there in bed like, this is how I'm going out.
And
no,
even
no blaze of glory.
And
it was in
Wyatt Earp's memoirs that he said his last words were, this is funny, and he was actually staring at his feet because he assumed he was gonna die with his boots on like in the dirt.
Right.
And in the movie that doesn't make any sense because he says that and then looks at his feet and dies. And I was like,
you don't know.
What I mean by that, because he thought he was gonna die in his boots.
Right.
You know, and end up on Boot Hill out in the middle of nowhere, but he ended up dying in a bed.
And then they bury him at the bottom of a hill with hopes of reburying him in the cemetery. But then they never do it. And so right now, somewhere in someone's backyard is fucking Doc Holliday.
Nice.
Yeah, because they buried him and they're not real sure, but it was like a ways from the cemetery and they never moved his body. So someone's house or yard
in Colorado?
Is that, yeah, does that, was, yeah, you said he went to Colorado. Summer Springs.
I think his skull is in the Skull and Bones base.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Found it.
That has to be. If you're calling the Skull and Bones, you're collecting, and you got the skull of Geronimo.
Yeah.
And you don't got Doc Holliday. Yeah,
there's something wrong with you.
You don't got Bruce Lee's. You got to have Bruce Lee's skull.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you got to have some badass skulls. You can't have fucking bullshit skull.
No.
You got to have Einstein's skull.
Then they just have cool
They
ones.
Better have Jesus's skull. That's why nobody can find his body.
They have like Jim Morrison and shit just for fun.
Yeah.
Because they're just fans.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's one of the
They just make fun of a hippie in the corner. Yeah.
They have a wig on it.
So yeah, Doc Holliday was a total badass. I was very impressed because I thought he killed a couple guys and was friends with Wyatt Earp and was sick and dying.
Actually the badass
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, when I first started reading, they said a large portion of the information that we even have was derived from a book. Like some guy named Stuart Lake wrote a book about Wyatt Earp, and we had the accounts that were derived from the from Wyatt Earp's tales on the side telling about that. But there was a lot more information.
And Wyatt Earp was pretty much a humble man too, so he probably wouldn't exasperate
I can't imagine he would have been blowing Doc up. He was probably trying to keep it pretty mellow.
Yeah, but the more I looked, it was like, man, there was a lot of information, and I really went into it thinking that it was maybe some exaggerated stuff, but you brought up a lot of things that I didn't even know about that made him a lot more badass, to be honest.
What did I say?
Aspirate would probably be better in this case for TV.
Masticate.
Eating.
Big Nose Kate, masticate.
That's right.
Masticate. That's a rap name.
Masticate. You know, when I masticate, I like to put El Yucateco on my food. See what I did there?
I do. I was going to make a jerk off joke at some point, but I was like, nah, they've had enough of us. Is it sponsor time?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so thank you to our sponsors, Yucateco Hot Sauce. If you haven't had it, you should go try it. If you don't, we're just going to keep fucking talking about it. And eventually you'll be like, I should have done that.
You'll see it somewhere. Yeah. You'll set it on a restaurant.
Yeah, people send fucking pictures in the craziest hole-in-the-wall restaurants and shit. Someone sent me a picture of menus, and it was like, thanks from the Van Tassels or some shit on some fucking Okie restaurant they're in. Probably related to those Okies somewhere. But yeah, go check out Yucateco if you're at Walmart, Target, at the grocery store. Go make an effort and look for it. It's not always in the normal section next to the spicy ketchup. Sometimes you gotta go an aisle over and find the Goya stuff and all the chili covered plums and shit like that. Yeah. It's over by
if
that
you
stuff.
You find
sometimes.
Goya and the El Pato.
El Patio or whatever the fuck that is.
The El Pato.
That's where you'll find the tomato
sauce.
Yeah. You know what I haven't tried is the it's like anote. I want to do something with that. I've never done it. It's some kind of like a marinade or something. I have like boxes of it that are probably not good because I'm a nerd and I just collected like one of each El Yucateco product. Like I have honey up there. I have like horchata and I have that anote stuff and I've never used it, but I'm going to go get a fresh box from the store
because
they sell that everywhere and I'll try something with it. But thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. That's one of our other sponsors. They do printed goods. You can log on to printdirtcheap.com and use code SOFAKING to save some money if you need stickers, banners, anything like that, flyers. They do all kinds of cool stuff. Also, thank you to Jimmy D's Tees. I saw Terry McGee walked in here earlier and he had a Jimmy D's Tee. Mm-hmm. He had the Godzilla eating E.T. Speaking of, Tyler Mott did some special effects on Instagram. Did you see that? Tyler Mott riding his bike across the moon. I don't know what the fuck. He's gotten crazy. He used to just take pictures and make funny art, but now he's like doing movie special effects. He like threw a baseball and it froze in time and spun in front of the camera.
That wasn't a special effect.
He's just like David Blaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you to Printer Cheap and Jimmy D's Tees, and thank you to Digital Creations. You can log on to our website at sofakingpodcast.com, and in our shop we sell coffee mugs and whatnot with our logos on them, and also in our store we have shirts and other merchandise. We sell stickers, t-shirts for guys and girls shirts available in multiple colors, and I think that's all I got. You got Uncle Brad?
If you're on Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast, get in the conversation. Instagram at SofaKingPodcast, Facebook and Twitter also at SofaKingPodcast. Check us out there. If you're on any of those social media platforms, share a post on Instagram, just comment and whatnot. It's a little harder to share, but if you can share, we appreciate it.
This week there was a ton of people sharing it.
If you're sharing on Instagram, thank you. Harder. But share on Twitter and Facebook, and you have prizes that will be won.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have a prize winner when you're done. Remind me.
And also check us out on our personal Instagrams at SofaKingBrad, SofaKingBrent, and SofaKingDave. Also check out the Captainist_SK quotes and SofaKing podcast art unofficial, which is Mr. Motz, the super photographer, mm-hmm. fan, guy, person, baseball, Jackeroff guy. Mm-hmm. That's his page.
He photoshopped his logo onto my hat in every picture because I just wear like blank hats. So it just says MP.
Right.
That's fine. Oh, I was wondering what that was. I see him. I was like, what the fuck are you wearing? Is that like fucking.
It's Mott Photography.
I thought it was like, I thought you were wearing a, what's his fucking name? The guy that can't read, the boxer. Mayweather, the money team.
Oh, no. I was thinking that. No, it's just a blank hat and Tyler put his logo on everything.
That's funny. Also check out Hilgenfeld at Hilgenfeld, the resident SofaKing artist. And then go to patreon.com/SofaKing podcast. That helps support our show. Helps us do stickers and t-shirts and all that stuff. It's not free, even though we have sponsors. So shipping, we ship out a lot of free stuff, a lot of hot sacks and bags and balls sacks
get shipped out. And googly eyes
and all that costs money, equipment, everything else. So web space, they keep making us upgrade our fucking servers.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, and cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's that. So, just go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast. And like we said, if everybody give us a dollar that listens, we greatly appreciate it. So, and you won't be a fuckface peasant anymore. Right.
That's true. Right. We look at you differently.
Yeah, we will look at you differently. We actually appreciate you.
I'll actually look at you.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, that's fuck true. That. Yeah. Let's fuck out of here.
Yeah, you have to stay. Talk you have to keep your eyes to the floor.
Yeah.
So, other than that, we appreciate it. The end song is Lil Putos.
I got a prize, homie. But,
oh, God.
Yeah, speaking of cocaine.
End song is Lil Putos by Cypress Hill.
Ed Lashley shares stuff on Instagram.
Insane in the